This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 15th, 2018, the seventh Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Go, prophesy to my people. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go, prophesy to my people. Man of God to Amos, as a command of Jesus Christ to us, that is called the Great Commission. The word prophesy sounds so Old Testament, sounds so churchy. All it means is go tell people what I say. Go tell people clearly what God has communicated to you. Now, back in Amos' day, God chose certain men to speak certain things to certain people at certain times. Our Lord Jesus Christ is much more broad in his sending us. The book of Hebrews tells us that in the old days that God has spoken through prophets, visions, dreams, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. There is no more revelation. God does not send certain men to certain people and talk about certain things. God sends his church out to proclaim his truth to the world, the truth that ends in the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to do that. Particularly in word, the way you or word, what you say, but even more so in the way you live your life. To be clear that you are Catholics, to not try to hide it under a bushel, to not think that you may offend someone, but to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ clearly. Amos, in his day, was a prophet that spoke God's word clearly. The reading that we had from the first reading today, from the book of Amos, you get to start out in the middle of a conversation. This priest Amaziah telling Amos, go preach in Jerusalem. Go there, seer, and preach. It almost sounds like he's just suggesting a better place for him to preach. Amaziah is livid with Amos. He is angry beyond all get out with Amos. He's up in Amos' face. Why? Because the context of this conversation is Amos telling all the people that he's had three different visions of the consequences of their disobedience that God is going to level on the people. The sword, fire, famine, pestilence. Not nice. People don't like to hear about things that are not nice. Guess what? The gospel is not nice. It is confrontational. It is a demand to conform. That is what Amos' message is. Amos is clear in the things concerning God's truth. He does not piddly mess around. He does not play relativism. He does not dialogue with Amaziah. Does not dialogue. He doesn't say, hey, Amaziah, I think that you're just trying to find God in your own way, and that's good. It's not good. There is a consequence, Amaziah, of you being disobedient and the people that are being disobedient. And guess what? It ain't pretty, to use bad grammar. That is Amos' message. That's God's truth. The truth upsets the status quo. Out there is the status quo. And if you are living and speaking the truth, guess what? They're not going to like it, just like Amaziah didn't like us. Amos is a troublemaker in the grand scheme of things. That's why Catholics who teach the Catholic faith are troublemakers. We're even troublemakers in our own church. We don't like to hear that stuff. We don't talk about judgment anymore. Most Catholics don't know the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Oh, we don't talk about that anymore. People don't want to hear that. Tough. That's God's truth. It's God's truth, and you need to know it. It's a warning. Warnings aren't pretty. Nobody likes warnings. Tell me not to do that. You're not the boss of me. Guess what? God is. He is the boss of us. And what he says goes. He is the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong. And there are consequences if you don't conform to his revealed will. And if you present it, you're a troublemaker. That's what Amos is living right now. He's a troublemaker. There are a lot of things to learn about Amos, because when we learn them, then we understand how we should live our life, how clear we should be in our presentation, both in the way we live and what we say about the gospel. You know, we always hear about this having eyes to see and ears to hear. God doesn't miracle those eyes and ears onto your head. That is where we come into play. That is where we cooperate with God. You have eyes to see because you investigate, you look. You have ears to hear. You should pay attention at Mass, and that should be a catalyst for you to hear other things about your faith. Your faith that has been promulgated and presented for over two millennia now. You have to do your part in having eyes to see and ears to hear the truths of God. Amos was such a man. He faithfully, and Amos even presents to Amaziah when he's confronted. Amaziah knows that Amos is presenting God's truth. He knows it. He doesn't like it. And Amos looks at him and said, I'm a herdsman. In the older English version, I'm a herdsman plucking wild figs. That's not a particularly good translation. The newer translation, I'm a dresser of sycamore trees. Even more specific in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, he said, I was one who slits the sycamore fruit. What's that about? What does that have to do with anything with me? I don't even know what a sycamore tree looks like. Guess what? That's when you work on that eyes to see and ears to your research. It meant a lot to people at Amos Day, but it really doesn't mean much else. So what do we got to do? We got to look into it. The herdsman thing we get. We hear about the shepherd stuff all the time. That's understandable. What's this deal about he slits the sycamore fruit? The sycamore fruit is like a fig, not quite, because you can pick a fig and it tastes good. Sycamore fruit, if you just pick it, it's insipid, to use the word that most commentators use. It's tasteless. It's really good for nothing. It doesn't taste good. You can't use it in cooking. Something's got to be done with it, or you might as well just let it go. When Amos says, I'm one who slits a sycamore fruit, if you put a little slit in the sycamore fruit, it becomes sweet. It becomes like a fig. In some cases, even better. And all of a sudden, it becomes useful. It becomes sweet. It becomes tasteful. It's useful for cooking. People like to eat it. That is what is going on here. When he said, I am one who slits sycamore fruit. Well, I don't have a sycamore tree. What does that mean? He's talking about what we do to the people out there who are the tasteless fruit of the tree of culture, the trees of this world. There has to be outside intervention in the fruit that is born from those trees out in the world. And when you intervene they become sweet and useful to God. That slit that we put in them is the gospel. And I love the analogy. Yeah, plants, they don't feel anything, all that kind of stuff. But still, it's the concept, it's the analogy. The slit that you must put in it, the cut that you must make to make these things sweet and useful. That is what we are supposed to do with the gospel to the people out there. This world bears fruit, people. But before the slit of the gospel is made in these people, they are bland. They are useless for anything. But if you put the slit in them and leave it, and that's what the slit did. You just wouldn't put a slit in it and pick it. You put a slit in it and you left it for 3 or 4 days. Then you picked it. Then it was good to use. The slit of the gospel that we put in people's lives out there, it's going to take time before it works. Just like the slit in the sycamore tree takes a little bit of time before it works. God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So it might take a long time. It might take till after you're dead. But the little slit you put in there just may make that fruit very, very sweet and very, very useful to God. That is what happens when you prophesy God's word, when you tell people what God says clearly. Clearly, explicitly, without adulteration in any way, shape, or form. You are the one who intervenes in that useless fruit that's just hanging on the trees out there, the trees of this world. The sycamore bears fruit, but it's useless. The tender makes it useful. You are the tenders. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended into heaven, sends you the Great Commission to go teach them all that I have commanded you. Not some of it, not the parts that they like. Teach them all that I have commanded you. Then, just maybe, in God's will, they will become sweet and useful fruit. This is what we have to appreciate about this lesson from the Old Testament. It applies directly to us. Because a lot of people look at it, so what's the big deal? I'm not a prophet. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Small p. You're a prophet. What does a prophet do? As I said before, he proclaims clearly and truthfully God's word. Where do you learn that? It's not like the old days. He's not going to come to you in a dream. You're not going to stand before a burning bush. Guess what you have? It seems so mundane. You have the Mass. You have the Liturgy of the Word. You have it read. You have it preached. That's where you learn about it. And when you learn about it, you should, if you are doing your part, it should be the catalyst of your eyes opening and your ears opening to see and hear God's truth, to proclaim to people, to make that slit in yourself, in your family members, and ultimately for people you know. Because when that happens, the concentric circles go out, and those concentric circles advance God's kingdom in this world. That is what we are called to do. You cannot sit back and say, I'm not a prophet. That's exactly what Amos said. He didn't mean that what he said wasn't prophecy. He meant to say, I'm not a professional prophet. I'm not of a line of prophets. I don't belong to any group of prophets. I'm just a herdsman and one who slits the sycamore fruit. Your response should be, I'm not a prophet. Yeah, you are. By virtue of your baptism and your confirmation, you have been called to be a prophet, to proclaim God's truth. That is the Great Commission. The gospel today, Jesus sending out his disciples. And then before he ascends, he says, that's for you also. Proclaim their truth, and if they won't hear you, knock the dust off your sandals for a testimony against them. That's how important this is. You are indeed a prophet. You are called to slit the fruit of the sycamore tree that is the world. These slits occur when we clearly present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Clarity. That's what this is all about. Clarity. I went on a vacation this past week. We're driving through particularly Tennessee and Georgia. All kind of crosses on the interstate as you drive down there. You see these crosses, and you see a cross, and you're like, that's pretty cool. I like the cross. But on a lot of them, it says, Jesus saves. Is that a clear message? I mean, for us, it is. For us, we're not supposed to preach to the choir. Jesus saves. If the Muslim is driving down the expressway, or the Jew's driving down the expressway, or the pagan, Jesus saves. From what? I'm a Muslim. I got Muhammad. I'm good. I'm a Jew. I got Moses. I keep the law. I'm good. Jesus saved. That's for Christians. They can read that. It's not a clear message. John the Baptist does not look at Jesus Christ when he's walking down toward the Jordan River to be baptized. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sin of the world. He saves. Jesus doesn't say, I save. That's not the message. What is the message, John the Baptist, in Jesus Christ? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're not okay if you're a Muslim. You're not okay if you're a Jew. You're not okay if you're a pagan and lead a good life. You're not good. Jesus saves you from where you are, and you need to repent of where you are, and you need to come to Christ. That's a clear message. And guess what? Just like in Amos' day, you start throwing that out there, you throw that around in some Catholic places. Guess what? You're going to get the same thing Amos got. You're going to get the Amaziah come up to you. Hey, you need to go somewhere else with that nonsense. Kind of interesting. This very morning, at the 8 o'clock Mass, I started this homily, and a whole family got up and left. That's kind of weird. It's kind of weird because it always happens when you start talking about truth. How could you get up and leave so, even if you didn't like to listen to it, it's kind of weird to be hearing a message. If you don't like the truth, people can't stand it. I'm getting up and leaving right now. What is that? It makes the point. It drives it home. It's really a two-edged sword when things like that happen around, because it doesn't. It's not infrequent that it happens around here. I go, you know, I'm really sorry that they didn't sit around and listen to what had to be said and to just be with Jesus at the Mass. And then I thought, good, because it makes a point. It makes a point. There are a lot of people who don't know, and when they're confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ and what he says explicitly, they can't handle it. And unfortunately, a lot of them are Catholics. Catholics should know God's truth. They should know it explicitly. It should be crystal clear for them. It was up until the 1960s. Whether you loved it or you hated it, everybody on the face of this planet knew what Catholics believed and taught about certain things. Now Catholics don't know what the Catholic Church teaches and believes. Things have become very convoluted. God needs you to be a prophet. He needs you to go and tell his truth to his people. Like I said, it starts with you personally, your family, then your friends. Very important. Because you have the same message to give to those people. Because if you give it to them, it might be a slit. They might not like it. They might initially recoil from it. But it can make them sweet and useful to God. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.